Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Listen.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, episode 438. I'm your host, Zach Ryan, and today I'm joined by Per Schneider.
Hello.
And Casey DeFreitas.
Hello.
Just three folks at the table today, a bit of a light staff because people are kind of trickling back in from vacation. Everybody's still off for Christmas, New Year's, etc.
Where is that Altano? I hope he's here in spirit.
He's missing in action, you know? Yeah. He was supposed to be in today, and then I think he just, his alarm clock went off, and he decided, no, thank you.
Is that working?
He probably snubbed us for his baby.
That's not true. He totally was on vacation this whole week. Okay. He'll be back. He'll be back sooner rather than later. How are you guys? How was your break? Yeah, exactly.
It was good. No, I spent time with family. I caught up on a bunch of games. You know, needed to finish Red Dead and a bunch of other junk too. And no, it was good.
And how did you find Red Dead?
I loved Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay, yeah.
I loved it.
Cool, Casey. That was really how was your break?
Upset at Red Dead because if Per had beaten it sooner, he would be playing Monster Hunter. Oh. And because Red Dead was too long, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Then I went back to Assassin's Creed and Tomb Raider. So.
Yeah, I really want to get back to Assassin's Creed. I played a bunch of games over the break as well, but Assassin's Creed was not among them. So yeah, but I have it in the works to go back to Assassin's Creed. Red Dead, I think I've not finished the story, but love the narrative, love all the character development. The actual game part of it, don't care for. So I don't really know if I'm going to power through it. I've caught a lot of flack here in the office for not finishing Red Dead, but
you should go back.
Yeah, I know I should. It's just like I'm at a point now where I know that I still have like at least 25, 30 hours, and it's just like that's so much time to dedicate to a game that I don't like. It's interesting. Yeah.
Just look up the story. Don't do that.
It's not the patience for that either. Yeah.
I feel like that game is, and we're getting off topic for Nintendo. Yeah. But that game is all about immersion.
Too, on your Nintendo Switch.
Red Dead, it's slow, but you kind of feel like you inhabit that world, which you don't get with a lot of games.
That's true.
Breath of the Wild does that too.
Yeah.
And Red Dead does it really well. Anyway, give it a chance if you have another 100 hours. Because
Speaking of Breath of the Wild, I was considering booting up Breath of the Wild over my break and getting back into it. But then I thought maybe I'll wait until March for that 2-year anniversary. Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about going back to it recently as well. And I don't really know why. I'm just like, you know what? I should play Zelda again. I'm just kind of getting that itch to play a Zelda game.
I've done everything in that game with the exception of finding all the Koroks. I'll never, ever do that. I don't have that kind of compulsive behavior. But I think that there's something about that game that keeps drawing me back into it. I've finished it 3 times already at this point,
gosh.
But I would gladly do it again. So,
nice.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we did play over break.
Yeah.
That's where I wanted to start. So not exactly the most topical. Obviously, we spent the first 3 minutes of our Nintendo podcast talking about Red Dead, but
once it comes to Switch, we'll be able to point back at this episode.
Keep dreaming. Mm-hmm. I do think that the holidays provided me personally a unique opportunity because I went home to my parents for a few days and took my Switch and my dock. And so I got to like really spend some quality time with my Switch, which
What's
was great.
What's your dock's name?
My dock's name is, Steve.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, very good.
I played a lot of Smash, which was nice. My parents' internet is somehow better than mine at home. I caught a lot of heat from some of the viewers talking about how they weren't experiencing any issues with the online play, which was kind of surprising. And come to find out that it might just be an issue of your internet connectivity. Ultimately, I've heard enough of complaints about stability that I think that it's not just on me. But yeah, I was kind of surprised at how well it played when I was home. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of that. I finally finished Grizz, which we talked about a lot last year, and cannot recommend that game enough. What a beautiful, thoughtful, awesome platformer. Have you guys had an opportunity to play
it? I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. Did you play it through to the end?
I'm not at the end yet. I did play a little bit more in the last couple of days, actually. And it's just, I just love the art, the way it looks. Now, the puzzle gameplay and the platforming is very, very simple.
Yes.
And I think that will turn some people off, but it's just... like, just look at the visuals. I mean, the way it's composed and when you bring back the color into this world, how it looks. It's
how long did it take really you to beat?
Ooh,
not very long, right?
No, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I did it in,
is that short?
In 2 or 3 settings, yeah.
I think I played at least
three
hours.
I will say that this game definitely lets you know when you're getting close to the end. It really starts to feel like things are wrapping up.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people compare it to Journey.
I've heard people compare it to Journey, including our review itself, kind of in a negative way, that it's like, oh, this just is too much like Journey. I think it's different enough from Journey. It's obviously sort of this high concept, like art-directed indie platformer, but I didn't necessarily get... I thought there was more stuff to do in Journey than there is in Journey, and I love Journey. So,
there are more things to do in Grizz than there are.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Journey is very experiential, and Grizz actually has puzzles. Like puzzles you can
and play. Different powers and like power ups and things that you can use to solve puzzles in different ways. And one thing that I liked about Grizz that I didn't actually figure out until I was pretty far into it was that there's a sub menu of tasks that you can complete throughout the course of the game. That some of them are as easy as like objectives that you complete while you're going through the story, but there's hidden objectives as well. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of cool to go back and complete. So I might do some of that. I really love that game. I finished it when I first got home, and then I started it over because my parents were talking about like, well, what games have you been playing lately? Yeah. Like, show us something really cool. And so I showed them Grizz, and then I was like, you know what? I might as well just play through it again. So I played it twice, And then I also played through Guacamelee 2, which I was so mad at myself. I put out my personal top 10 list, and that game wasn't on it because I didn't get a chance to play through it till the end of the year. But God, Guacamelee 2 is great. It is so, so good. Did you guys play the first one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I started this one too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's such a like punishingly tough platformer, but Metroidvania as well. It's a really cool game because like the way that it combines your traversal and combat is so, so smart. And I love the first one. I like this one even better. I think it's a brilliant throwback, sort of.
So I have to be a little boring because the games I played on Switch over the break are pretty much exactly your list.
Ah.
You know, played a bunch of Smash with the kids.
Yeah.
You know, we even had friends over, and mm-hmm. it's just so nice to plug in a couple more controllers sure. and be able to just play without thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have that in the old game where you had to choose an 8-player map. Now mm-hmm. it's just like plug and play. It's really, really awesome. Dig that game. Played a bunch of, unlocked a bunch of spirits as well. Played Guacamelee, played Gris, and then I played The Way Remastered.
Cool.
Which was on sale for $1. So I'm like, okay, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool 2D kind of pixel art looking adventure game in the vein of kind of classic, you know, something like Flashback or, you know, Out of This World, but also a little bit The Dig, like from the Lucasfilm
cool.
games era.
Yeah.
And like, you know, with the difference, it's a little bit more action. You can like shoot your gun at
How
things.
Do you do it?
You shoot.
Oh, got it.
Well, you can you can do the kind of like the round aiming with the right stick, okay. like okay. Samus can in her
really?
Samus
okay.
Returns
cool.
outing. But it's much more simple than that. It's not like a platform or action game. It's really fun. I mean, if it's still $1, definitely pick it up.
Nice.
And then, of course, you actually, on this list is like what everybody's playing. It says Picross next to my name, which I didn't put there. But there was a good guess, Casey.
That's Casey trolling. Yeah.
I did play Picross S2 whenever I should be going to sleep. I boot it up and then I fall asleep while the puzzle is open and then I wake up and it says 48 minutes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Still playing the Mega Picross puzzles.
Cool. What about you?
We'll never end.
Like both of you, I've been playing a ton of Smash.
Yeah.
Whenever I go back home to Florida, we usually have a huge get-together with like 20 or 30 people, and more than half of us all play Smash, so we have these huge Smash tournaments with just my friends. So we did that for a night while I was gone, and it was a whole lot of fun. And man, I really like Smash, and I started playing as Corrin a little bit.
Yeah.
I was just Corrin and Pikachu. Who's your main?
Pikachu's definitely still my main, but right. I have fun with Corrin as well. But besides Smash, I started playing Night in the Woods because Night in the Woods was on sale.
Yeah.
And I've been telling myself I'd play it when it was on sale on the Switch, and that finally happened.
Yeah.
So I started playing with it, and it's basically existential dread in a game.
Yeah.
And it kind of borders on into nihilism territory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is definitely that. Yeah.
Like, oh God.
It's like disillusioned, angry teen returning to a hometown.
Yeah.
Right? Basically.
It's a
college kid.
Yeah. She drops out of college and goes back home, and everyone's been forced to become an adult, and mm-hmm. she has not grown up yet, and everything sucks. And what is life's purpose? There is no purpose. Oh God, what am I going to do? And that's what this game is.
There's a lot more to it than that, too.
Yeah,
I really
there is
love
a lot
Night
to it.
Woods. This is one of my favorite games from last year.
One of the best written games.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have voiceovers. It's all written.
It is.
Conveyed through text.
The
but
dialogue
it's so well
is
done.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And there are poems in there that are also.
Also, like the little mini game stuff that they throw in is really great, too. Like even the music mini game, I found myself doing a couple of times because I was just like, that
you
was
play
really
bass.
Fun. Like, yeah.
Play bass. You get have knife fights. You go shoplifting
you can
with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can spray people with a fountain shaped like a fish.
That's right.
There's a lot of cool little fun things to do in Night in the Woods.
I picked up Undertale with the intent to play it over Christmas break, and then I just with these other games I never got around to it. But that's still on my list. In a similar vein as Night in the Woods, that's still on
yeah
the
same.
List.
I also would like to play Undertale.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then besides those games, of course, Nintendo, but I played Monster Hunter World.
What?
So I know
you only have Monster Hunter written down here, and I thought you were saying that you were playing Generations still.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, wow, what's going on there?
I went back to World because they have this new Arc Tempered Kolveteroth, and by playing,
of course they do.
It's just a more difficult version of the Siege that came out a few months ago,
uh-huh.
and you get random weapons that are like the best weapons in the game.
Oh, cool.
So,
well, aren't you gearing up for, like, isn't there a major expansion coming out?
Yeah, there's a huge expansion called Iceborne coming out this August.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get my friends back into it.
What about Generations? Is there anything left there, or are they done supporting
I mean,
it?
All of the content was already
made.
It's a compilation already.
There's no DLC coming to something that's been out for X many years.
Yeah, because all the DLC came out in waves when it came out in Japan more than a year before it came here. Sure. So it already came with all of that DLC, which I haven't completed. I need to finish. I never finished all of G Rank. I never finished all of the expansion. Mm-hmm.
And you call yourself a Monster Hunter.
I know. Like, what's wrong with me?
Man.
I will get out there and hunt those monsters.
I will play it someday, Casey. I promise.
Have you not played World?
Again, one of those I started it games. I'm like, that is pretty good. I'm going to find 9 other games.
Yeah.
You
know,
I get that. Well,
Just Dance 2019. Okay, that's it.
Oh, cool.
Wait, you actually played that on the Switch?
Yeah, on the Switch.
Right. Do you have to like stick Joy-Cons in all your pockets?
No, so you only hold one Joy-Con.
Okay.
And it's a lot.
You hold it on your hip?
No, you just hold it in your hand. So if you see, how the hand is always highlighted. If you're watching the video version, the highlighted hand is the hand that is getting registered and tracked.
Oh, okay.
So your other body parts can do whatever they want.
Yeah, you actually don't have to dance, but if you don't dance, you're really lame, and I judge you.
Okay.
You got to be silly with everyone.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
It's just a fun little game, and it's interesting. I don't want to say it's interesting in this way, but there's this subscription you can get that gives you access to like 400 songs. But without the subscription, the songs that come on the game cartridges are just
not that great.
Not very good.
Yeah.
So you kind of need the subscription, but it comes with a month free.
Oh, cool.
And this game was on sale for $20. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
And will likely be one of the top selling games of the year.
Yeah.
Always,
that's
right?
True too, yeah.
Yep.
You've played Just Dance forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, hasn't that been, that's one of your franchises as well?
I mean, I've always played it. It's just a fun game to play with people. And I mean, it's better than sitting on my couch all day.
Sure. And how much Just Dance are you playing these days?
Yeah, not so much.
You cutting a rug?
Yeah, no, haven't. I haven't moved much at all, actually.
It's honestly
same. I was brought into this room.
Wheeled in. Yes, that's right, this chair.
That's it. Yeah, this is my chair.
Well, 2019, we're only 2 days deep at this point, but it's already, I just feel like it's shaping up to be a great year. I actually have no basis.
What?
I don't know why, but
like what happened?
I got a good feeling about that, and I wanted to talk about some of the Nintendo releases coming down the pipeline in 2019. So there's a lot of good stuff coming out. There's a lot of stuff that's.
How do you know it's good, Zach?
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff that has the potential to be good, and I want to talk about our level of excitement for each of these upcoming games. And because Brian is not able to be here today, we thought we would include him in the show this week by including him in our scale. So on a scale of 1 to 5 Brian Altanos, I'd like for us to rate each of these games how excited we are about them.
Okay,
so
five is most
Altanos
excited?
Is the most excited.
Okay.
That's like Altano on like a 2 iced coffees in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then 1 Altano is like Altano when you make him play... when you have a meta discussion about Pokemon meta.
Okay.
Like,
So no half Altano.
Full Altano.
Okay, got it.
Oh, that would be kind of morbid to have a half an Altano.
Well, Pear suggested that if we should do a half Altano, that it should be Brian's like picture, and then a half would be his baby. So we'll see if we can work that out.
4.5 babies.
Okay, so starting in January, the month that we are in right now, we are 9 short days away from the release of New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can talk about that. But now that I think about it,
I can
you know
talk
what?
About it.
But let's talk about
I don't
the,
know anything.
The Wii U version of
sure.
this game.
Yeah. Let's say that this newest version is everything that the Wii U version was and more.
Yeah.
Whatever. I've been playing this game. We have we got a chance to preview it, and it's still a phenomenal Mario game.
Yeah.
I think that it's every bit as fun as it was first go around, and I'm really, really glad to have this on Switch because there are something crazy like 164 levels. It includes all of the Super Luigi U stuff.
That's right.
Which are just so insanely difficult. Like,
For those who haven't played it, it's basically a challenge on each one of the stages of the game. So it's not new levels, but you start with the Totoro, Totoro, Totoro thing in the beginning where it like hurries you up and you have 100 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And so it completely changes how you like hurry, rush
the whole level is like a level. Scramble. Yep. Yep. You're just on like adrenaline trying to get through each of these levels. But the base game itself is so wonderful. And I'm actually not a huge fan of the new Super Mario Brothers franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I think mostly because of the art. I don't really love the way that these games look. And they feel a little floatier than I remember. Because, like, looking at this game, playing through this game, it feels a lot like it was inspired by Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
And that game has such a specific feel that this one, that all the new Super Mario Brothers, I feel like, are a little bit floatier, a little more forgiving.
Okay.
Whereas Super Mario Brothers 3 has a very distinct, like, physics, you know.
I really appreciated this game pulling off four-player gameplay in a fun but really frustrating way too, right? Like it's got. I was hoping they had fixed that little thing where all the characters freeze when somebody dies,
right?
Like they do it on purpose to make that impact that somebody fell, but like that always screws me up when somebody falls into the abyss. No, but like
it throws your rhythm off.
It's hard to do a fast platformer in co-op. And
yeah.
Like, you know, Rayman doesn't work as well as this game for by comparison, for example.
Yeah, that's
sense. Another top platformer. And I always really liked this game, but wish that it had a little bit more courage to look different. You know, you said the style, right? Like it's a little bit too clean. Like when it first came out, even it reminded me of some of the kind of flash games you saw out there. Just the kind of like that safe look. And then there's a, you know, there's a level based on Vincent van Gogh's paintings, and you're like, why didn't you do this for more?
Right.
Like, why didn't you have the courage to like mix up
really
the art
play
style?
With the art style?
But,
yeah.
But the game is really fun, and as a four-player platformer, I don't think there is a better one out there.
Yeah, they're really fun. They're really chaotic, and I think this is going to sell incredibly well on the Switch.
I mean, it's just. It's a nice bonus. We talked a lot about Wii U games that were being ported over to the Switch at the end of last year, you know, in sort of our wrap-up episode about how it's such an awesome way for people that skipped last generation, which is a lot of people, to have an opportunity to come in and play these games. And it's a great opportunity for guys like us that played these games, you know, in 2014 or whenever it came out, to go back and revisit it and you know, it's great. It's a great game.
And it's obviously, it's been 6 years since the original came out. This is almost
this game came out in 2012.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Oof.
And Luigi was the next year. Yeah.
You're right.
And what's funny, it's almost like Nintendo said, oh, okay, everybody who played the original had kids in the meantime, because this has Nabbit, right? A character who can't die, basically. And then it has, you know, Toadette with her Peachette powers. So there are now easier characters to play. And that makes it more like a much better family game, and you know, to have the kind of helping hand like that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now I'm looking for 3D World to come to Switch. That'd be great.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Moving right along. November 18th, a game that I'm very
January
excited
18th.
About. Yeah. Oh, what did I say?
November.
It's okay.
That's a whole different month.
not the same.
That's a
not
different month. January 18th, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen our friend Travis Touchdown. He hasn't been in a game since way back in the Wii days. And this one is...
When you were a wee lad.
When I was a wee lad, this one is different. I'll say this much. It's definitely a Suda game. It looks weird as hell. But I think it's really interesting because this is a collection of, not mini games, but smaller like game types, right? The majority of the gameplay is top-down action-adventure. And then you can do co-op play, but you're basically playing through seven different types of games. Action games, racing games, puzzlers, things like that.
Because you're in an arcade.
Well, the idea is Travis gets pulled into these video games and he's inside the game squashing bugs.
Okay.
So you're going through each of these games like fighting bugs and stuff. But the most exciting thing to me is that this game, a lot of these smaller games within games are developed by notable indie developers, including Yacht Club.
That's
the guys
really
behind
cool.
Shovel Knight, which is still one of my favorite platformers in recent memory, and also sort of their first foray outside of Shovel Knight in a very long time.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this. I love No More Heroes and its sequel. This one is almost feels like a Gaiden sort of thing, like a side story. But I'm into this. Like, I think it could be really cool.
Talking about art and how New Super Mario Brothers was generic, this looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like rotoscope look to it. And I always thought these games were, you know, a little style over substance.
Yeah.
I know there are a lot of people really like them. I could never get into them that much. But I'm excited about that one just to see that kind of mini game collection.
Yeah. I think it's going to be cool. I did forget that we need to give these games scores. Start with Travis Touchdown. Out of five Altanos, how many Altanos are you giving Travis Touchdown?
Travis Strikes Again, I give 3 out of 5 Brian
Altano. 3 out of 5 Brian Altano.
Same, I'll give it 3 out of 5
I'll give it 4 out of 5 Brian Altano's just because I'm a big Travis Touchdown fan. But okay, so that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 So yeah, good. Great.
And I would give New Super Mario Brothers, I'd give that 4. Okay. Even though it's such an old game, I feel like the time is right for me to play it again. And as I said,
I will also give that game 4. Yep. Travis Touchdown, right. Or Brian Altano's.
Brian Altano's.
Yeah.
Travis Touchdown.
I'm going to give it. This one also a 3.
Okay.
3 Altano's.
3 Altano's for New Super Mario Brothers. Okay. That's cool. And keep in mind, there are no rules. There are no cops. We can give them Altano's. We can give them Travis Touchdowns. Whatever. The score doesn't matter. It's great. Mm-hmm. Moving into February, which is a month that's not November also. We're looking at February 21st, Trials Rising. Are either of you big Trials fans?
Yeah. It's hard to be a fan when a game pisses you off. Aww. To the extent that Trials can take you off, you know? If you haven't played a Trials game, it's basically you're on a motorbike and you're trying to navigate these insane obstacle courses, and they're just filled with deadly traps. You die over and over and over trying to make it past them. You'll be set on fire. You smash through windows and you fall and break your neck in all sorts of spectacular ways.
It's essentially sequence-based physics puzzles
that
you're solving over and over again. But no game. Well, I can't say no game. I would say that the Trials series has induced From Software levels of anger in me playing some of the later stages. But I still really love Trials. I think that this game, I was really excited when they announced that Trials was coming back. We haven't seen it in a few years, so it's cool that Trials is coming to the Switch.
I'm happy that the Joy-Con are attached to the system, so I can't throw them.
I bet you still will.
But I met the designer of this franchise, Andy, who's a crazy dude. And one of the coolest
crashed through the table at E3, right?
Yes, that's right.
Deal, yeah.
One of the craziest thing he and his team have done is the mystery in Trials Evolution.
Yes,
where people played this game for years trying to figure out what the mystery was, and it was so complicated. Where you piece together a message by finding wooden boards that unlocked a song. In the song, if you use spectral analysis, it would show you Morse code. Then you'd use that to uncover something else. You'd find these hieroglyphics, which then in the end led to real life locations where you had to enter codes and find geocaches with keys in them in the real world. And the solution, if you don't want to spoil, but why wouldn't you? Because you're never going to find all this stuff. The solution was that in the year 2113, you would show up under the Eiffel Tower to unlock a box with this stuff.
What?
In real life.
That's insane.
Yeah. So
nobody around is going to, that doesn't even make sense.
Auntie figured out, he basically said, just like in Back to the Future, he hired somebody to do this, a company to do this in the year 2113. And there'll be something
so
in
cool.
the box, which is probably his tooth or something. Yeah. We don't know what it's going to be, but isn't that insane?
That is really
so
wild.
Good. Yeah. So I want to play this just to see if
there's any sort of mystery to uncover.
If it's got this in here too, yeah.
As a longtime Trials fan, I will give this 4 Brian Altanos out of 5 in terms of my
same. It'd have to be 4 Bryans for me just because of the mystery in it.
Okay. Casey,
I hope there's
a mystery
in it.
I'm giving it 2 Bryans, but
I think that's not a Trials fan.
I've never played Trials, so I feel like I can't give it a fair score.
Well, fortunately for you, there's a new Trials game coming out February 21st.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think. It's cool. Like, it's mean.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But it's also funny.
Yeah. I mean, you might throw your Switch.
Okay.
Pear's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're talking about the Joy-Cons being attached.
Yep.
I would say play them unattached because I feel like Joy-Cons are easier to replace than your base unit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Let's skip March. We're going to jump straight to April. April 23rd, little game called
Mortal Kombat
11. So this just got revealed pretty recently at the TGAs, at the Game Awards in early December. Not a ton of information to go on. No real gameplay that we've seen yet.
I assume it's going to be like a Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, it'll probably be a Mortal Kombat game. We did see, who was it? Raiden and Scorpion doing a good fight in that cinematic.
Getting hurt.
I did think that it was a little odd that they didn't make a bigger deal about the Switch port. Because
and we talked about that a bit.
Yeah.
During the week where we talked about the show.
Yeah.
And that they still haven't really made a big deal out of it since then either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a case of like, well, it's coming to everything, so why make a big deal out of one thing? Maybe it's just a bigger deal for us because this is so clearly a mature title and so so violent and over the top that it wouldn't necessarily have found a home in earlier generations of Nintendo platforms. But
I think that's another reason why people are so surprised, because earlier, as you said, earlier generations of Nintendo would have never had a game so violent on it.
But I feel like more than the violence, it's just that it is a current gen title and it takes some effort to port over. And, you know, granted, we've seen Doom and Infinite obviously is coming as well, but it's still not the norm. We're still not seeing trailers for these big multi-platform like Xbox, PS4, PC titles with the Switch logo next to it. And I actually like that it was kind of more matter-of-factly. It's like boom, 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 they're all there.
Yeah.
Rather than also surprise Switch.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Yep. Now, have you guys traditionally been Mortal Kombat fans?
I've played every game in the series.
Okay.
I was more like, in the beginning, I was a Street Fighter fan, so I really didn't like the way it felt, but then like with, I thought 4 was really good. I think the games kept getting better and better and better, so.
What was 4 on?
4 was on everything.
Okay.
I always thought Mortal Kombat felt a little bit too slow for me. I mean, I played Mortal Kombat a bunch, like, when it originally came out, I think for the Sega, was it?
Well, yeah, there was on Sega and Super Nintendo.
Yeah. But recently I played Injustice, and I like that a lot.
Well, same feel. So
yeah, same feel. So maybe I'll give it another shot.
So there's Mortal Kombat before MK9, which is when they sort of rebooted the series and added all this like story stuff, because the story is so hugely important to the newer generation of Mortal Kombat. And then sort of branching off of that, you have like the Injustice series as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a huge fighting fan, fighting game fan to begin with. So, and I've always been more of a Street Fighter guy, but I will say I do prefer the Injustice games more than I liked Mortal Kombat 9 or 10, but that's, I think it's just because of the superhero angle.
Yeah.
So I will give this 3 Brian Altanos out of 5. Pear?
I'll give this 2 Brian Altanos just because I have a feeling I will not be able to find the time to play this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not a big fighting game gamer usually. I'll take a look. I want to be surprised, but I have to be convinced that this is awesome.
It's also like, go ahead and give us your score.
Mm-hmm. 2 Brian Altanos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll probably look up all of the final kills on
fatalities,
YouTube or something. All the fatalities on YouTube or something.
Yeah. Gross.
Yep. Morbid curiosity, but not enough to play.
If IGN history has taught me anything, it's that we'll have those fatality montage ready to go like the day of launch at embargo.
Yep.
So you don't have to look too far.
Will YouTube take them down though?
Maybe. the other thing is like, if I was to play this game, I think I would play it on my PlayStation because if Smash has taught me anything, it's that I hate the controllers for fighting games on Switch.
You could just use a GameCube controller.
I like the Pro Controller for Smash a lot.
Okay.
The playing Smash with the Joy-Con is miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely hate it.
It's not even worth playing at all.
No. The buttons are too close together. I'm about half as good with Joy-Con as I am on a Pro Controller. So, and I haven't tried a GameCube controller yet, but okay. Also in April, but no set release date, Super Meat Boy Forever. Super Meat Boy Forever was originally developed as a touch-focused mobile port way back in 2014, but now it's become more of like a full-fledged sequel.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of what I'm hearing this phrase a lot, and tell me if you guys have heard this before, splatformer.
Okay, I've never heard that before, but
so it's a platformer like Meat Boy or like Guacamelee or something like that, where like you instantly respawn. And so there's no delay.
You die a lot.
You die a lot, and they're meant to be very... Celeste is another good example where it's like super challenging, but the punishment isn't really there because like you instantly start over. Super Meat Boy, the original one to me, is like sort of the very first platformer. Like I love that game. I replayed it recently when it came out for Switch. This Super Meat Boy Forever... randomly generated levels.
And Endless Run, right?
I think you're right. I think it is also Endless Run.
Well, ish.
Yeah, so that's gross. I'm not really interested in that. You and I were talking about randomly generated levels before we came in here, and this is just yet another thing where it's like, God, I was really looking forward to this game, but the idea of like, it's not even a level of or a lack of thoughtfulness. It's just like, I just wish there was something bespoke. Like it just.
I think it's a generational gap. Like I see my kids playing, you know, just loving roguelikes.
Are you implying that we're some kind of old yes. dudes.
Yes. Oh. We want to know that some Bummer. Poor team sat in an office late night slaving away at these level designs.
Yeah.
Whereas our kids don't care. They it just does. Want a new experience every time they play.
It does look like really mm-hmm. a lot of fun though.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah.
But the Endless Runner-ish approach makes it a 2 Altanos for me right now.
2 Altanos. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I'm also going to give it 2 out of 5 Brian Altanos. Mm-hmm. Casey?
2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
Right. Sorry to be so negative, guys.
That's okay.
I guess 3 is, well, look, three our rating is above
can,
average.
Our rating can always change when we actually get to play these games. And
that's
see
true.
A
we might
bit more
come back in
them.
Here in April this and is, say, this is a 5 out of 5 Altanos game.
And everybody knows Altanos are not the most accurate rating.
That's mm-hmm. true. Yeah. Yeah. So. It's very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very subjective.
Okay, moving into May. May 21st. Here's one for you.
Yeah.
Sonic Team Racing.
Who's you? Me?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice to have a kart racer, another kart racer on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love Mario Kart 8. I think it's probably the best kart racer ever made, question mark. But I've heard a lot of great stuff about the previous Sonic Team Racing game. So this is kind of the third in the Sonic Racing franchise, because there was like Sega Racing All-Stars.
And then Sonic All-Stars, Sonic Racing or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Transformers, something like that.
So this one has, first of all, we're looking at a game that was delayed from winter 2018 to spring of 2019, just to kind of squash some bugs and do a little QA. 15 characters, including some of our favorites like Sonic, Tails,
other Sonic,
the bird,
white Sonic, pink Sonic,
cat. Yeah, lots of good
There's
characters.
There's Blaze
in there.
And Rogue
That's
and
right.
Knuckles,
you
and
made
Shadow,
all those, like,
and Silver.
There
you
go.
Could make up so many different Sonic characters, and I'd be like, great,
Big
yes,
Cat.
Those are definitely Sonic characters.
And they're all notable for being so fast
True.
That they have to race cars.
Yeah, it's funny that this isn't an on-foot racer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do like the idea of another kart racer on Switch. We're going to talk about a third kart racer coming down the line in a bit, but I will say, just given the pedigree, given the amount of adoration I've heard for the previous games, I'm cautiously optimistic for this one. I will give it 3 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
So I would usually be there with you with a 3. I got to play a little bit of this at E3, and the game got delayed, so hopefully it'll get fixed. What I found was a choppy game that didn't feel right yet. Like I didn't want to keep playing it based on that demo, but I'm hoping that they knew this and this was just early code and they're gonna make it look really good even on the Switch. The last game was great. I don't think we ever reviewed it, but the Wii U version even had
Wii U and PC.
You could even do split screen multiplayer just with a gamepad and the TV screen.
Wow,
so
that's
they put in a lot of work in the previous game. And like, you know, I'll snark aside from them riding around in cars, the drifting and everything is really good.
Okay,
I really enjoyed the previous game as well, also on the Wii U. So I'm going to give this 3 out of 5 Altanos.
Okay. 3
I
out
hope
five.
It's
That's
good.
One of the highest ratings so far.
What was
I mean,
yours?
I also gave some
2 3s. 2 out of 5.
Based on that demo, I will play it for sure, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Moving to... So
5 Altanos.
Well, just hold your horses.
Oh, okay.
You're spoiling it. There's a couple of games, a few games in the spring that
now,
don't
everyone
have
pause and guess.
Set. Yeah. If you know Pear...
Pick Cross S3.
Oh my gosh. it's F-Zero!
With one more color.
No, there's a couple of games coming in the spring that don't have set release dates.
Okay.
So the first of that of those games is, of course, Fire Emblem Three Heroes, which I know you're very excited about.
5.
You're going to get out of the gate. You're going to give 5 out of 5 Altanos.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Talk about pedigree.
Tell me, so this is the first Fire Emblem, first console Fire Emblem in 12 years?
Jesus, since the Wii, huh?
What was it? Radiant Dawn on Wii.
Dawn.
Yeah. And this one, I think the big draw here is the ability to transition from this top-down view to sort of a third-person on the battlefield view like we're seeing here. Which
yeah,
is
you
really
you no longer get a switch in presentation. It like zooms you into the action. And then the other big thing is that for the first time, it will feel more like an actual war because you see all the support units that fight alongside your hero.
Okay.
So that's a big change. Usually it's one-on-one battles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to play this?
I don't
play
know.
It.
I don't
it's
know.
So good.
I'm actually.
Fire Emblem is so good.
I know that I should. I played. What was
Fire Emblem Heroes on the 3DS?
No. Was it Heroes? Was that the first one on the 3DS?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, wait, not no, the last wait. One. The last one was Fates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Corrin.
Yes. That's right. So, yeah, the first one on 3DS was Heroes.
No, or is that the mobile game?
No, Heroes, no, is, the
Heroes is the mobile game.
Jesus,
what was it?
Okay.
It was Awakenings, Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Awakenings.
Sorry, guys.
We're a weekly Nintendo show right here on IGN.com.
There's a lot of Fire Emblem games, guys.
We've been on vacation for 2 weeks. Give us a break. We're still getting back in the swing of things. Yes, I played Fire Emblem Awakenings and liked it. But Fire Emblem to me is sort of like Monster Hunter, where every time I try to play one, I get a certain amount in and I'm like, okay, I've had enough of this. Like, I'm not
really,
I'm not a real-time strategy guy to begin with, or a turn-based strategy guy. And I don't know. I just,
so
I'm not super into Fire Emblem. I would probably give this, and I'm sorry, 2 out of 5.
Oh, that's insane, man.
It's a very low number of Altanos for this game.
What makes these games, in certainly in recent times, there were always kind of assists and, you know, effects that would, that where you could build character relationships that would impact your battles, but they've really amped up the storytelling. Like, mm-hmm. when you pair up characters, you know, they actually bond, they can get married.
Yeah.
In, you know, previous games, they could have kids and they could travel back in time. Like, there were all these really cool elements around how you play the game and what characters you pair up.
Right.
Which you're looking at me like you're not going to.
No, you started talking about time traveling kids.
And yeah.
Yeah. Mine kind of went elsewhere, but yes.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to convert you. I'm going to make him play it.
5 out of 5 Altanos.
5 out of 5 Altanos.
Casey, how many Altanos are you?
4 out of 5 Altanos.
4 out of 5. That's your highest rating
yet.
It
is.
So you're a big Fire Emblem fan.
I'm not a big Fire Emblem fan. I feel like the only one I've played is Awakening mm-hmm. and Heroes.
Okay.
And I need to give
different.
It another
Heroes.
Shot.
Heroes
is the one on the phone.
Game. It's a mobile game.
I did wiki stuff for it.
Yeah.
But I did like it.
Are,
and I like Awakening.
Heroes, no.
Oh. Okay.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It's too simple. I don't like gacha games.
Oh.
Mm, see,
how do you feel about gacha journalism?
I don't. Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay. Also coming in the spring, one of my personal most excited games, Yoshi's Crafted World.
Okay.
I love myself a good Yoshi game, and this one looks so charming, so cute, so fun. We got an extended look at it earlier or later last year, I guess, and I think it looks awesome. I love the duality, the kind of, you know, bouncing back and forth between your first run through and then going behind the scenes to see all the other stuff. Like, I think this game looks great, and I'm really excited for another Yoshi game, Woolly World. I played on Wii U, and then I played it again on 3DS, and they're just charming little platformers.
I'm right there with you. And it's got this, you know, the kind of, you see the backside of the levels,
right.
Which I think is really clever because the front is all beautifully designed like paper craft. And then they flip it around. And you see all the tape and all the strings holding it together.
Not only that, but like in one level, during the gameplay that they showed a few months ago, Yoshi runs in front of like a can of like cookies, mm-hmm. which is, you know, Yoshi's cookies, whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the backside, it has all the nutrition values and stuff like labeled on the back. Like, it's very funny. It's very cute.
That's great.
Yeah. I will give this 5 out of 5 Brian Altanos. I'm very excited for Yoshi.
Before Brian Altanos for me.
4.
Yeah. What do you think?
4 Brian Altanos.
Okay. 4 Brian Altanos.
Do you think there'll be co-op in this game?
I don't know. Actually,
yeah.
I assume so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe not, because I guess the co-op in Woolly World was with Poochie.
You'll
on
the egg.
3DS, but
yeah.
Or was it?
Play as the egg.
Maybe I made that up.
Yeah.
But the graphics look really cute.
Yeah.
And good.
I love the Nintendo's ability to really make their game shine, and I think that Yoshi's Crafted World is no mm-hmm. exception. I think it looks so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to June. This is post E3, which is a scary thing to think about, but June 21st. This is that other kart racer that we were talking about. This is Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which is a remake of the original Crash Team Racing from PlayStation 1, which was one of my favorite racers as a kid. So I'm really excited. This game looks amazing. I'm really excited to jump back into it. And now it's got things like online support. There's an arcade mode. There's time trials, like all the stuff from the original. But it looks incredible. And this is, to me, Crash Team Racing is the only contender, the only like second place to Mario Kart, but like a close second. I played each of those, Mario 64 and Crash, sort of back and forth in that era, and this game is fantastic, and I'm excited for it to come back.
Quick follow-up. Yoshi does have multiplayer.
It does.
Different colored Yoshis.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay,
I thought I saw something on
that. Did you just look that up on your phone?
Yeah. Wait a second. I thought I
we
saw
We need
that.
To look it up.
I appreciate that, because that means that I won't get roasted in the comments.
Yeah, otherwise he's like, stupid Zachary.
How can you let him host the show?
Why do you think they're multicolor Yoshis? I dig CTR too. It is the closest you can get to Mario Kart.
Yep.
Any of the out of any of the kart racers out there. Not that that is such an expansive genre, right? Yeah. It's like it's almost like companies look at Mario Kart and say, "Oh no, thank you."
Yeah.
You know, somebody did it so well, but Crash Team Racing is it's beautiful looking, it's fast, it feels right, the courses are well designed. It is a little bit more of a racing game than Mario Kart is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that kind of, you know, that randomness, that kind of Mario Party effect that sometimes creeps up in Mario Kart 8 with mm-hmm. rubber banding or like the blue shell or anything right. like that. It's a little bit more focused on racing. So it's a really good game. So I'll you know, I've played it before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it 3.
Okay,
Altanos.
So I was disappointed that this didn't show up in the Crash collection from last year.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed that this would be like, oh, if you beat all three games, then the unlockable is Crash Team Racing. But I'm excited that it's coming out on its own. I'm excited to play it again. I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
Okay.
Casey?
I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've never played it.
Oh, it's going to be good.
There's a ton of these remakes, and I've never played this.
Yeah. It's a good game.
Okay, then we got a bunch of games that don't have a release date for 2019 sometime. Mm-hmm. So the first of which is Animal Crossing for Switch. That got revealed last year. I love Animal Crossing. This is my friend Tom Nook here sitting in the dark. Very clever reveal from Nintendo last year. So far, in terms of pedigree, Animal Crossing games are always great. I can't imagine that this would be any different. We talked a lot about Animal Crossing on NVC way back when this was announced last year, but I'm very excited for Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also excited. Like, I missed New Leaf when it was new. I didn't play it until much after the fact.
Oh, you played Old Leaf.
Yes, I played Old Leaf. So I'm excited for, specifically, I'm excited to play Animal Crossing at IGN when it's new because mm-hmm. I know everybody's going to be trading and it's going to be crazy and everybody will be very into it. I will give this 5 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
It's a 4 Altanos rating for me based on not knowing what it is yet.
Sure.
And I really want some new features out of this franchise. And not to say Animal Crossing hasn't evolved over the years, right? The game's gotten bigger with different things to do outside of your village with you know, with island and, you know, the big city, all that stuff.
Right.
But I want there to be more things to do. If I move back into this town, taking the train in, having to pay off my house, and then it is the same gameplay loop with all the, hey, I found this bag. Who does it belong to? Bring it back to this person.
It's fine by me.
I want something new to be get excited for, especially since now I'm taking it on the go on the Switch.
We should be able to date our animal neighbors.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I think that says a lot more about you than it does about Animal Crossing, but sure. How many Altanos are you going to give this?
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5 Altanos.
Even if you can't date your neighbors.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Wow.
Good enough. Okay. Next up, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. This is Igarashi's crowdfunded Castlevania killer. Was supposed to come out last year, but got delayed into 2019. Now they've brought WayForward, who developed Shantae, into the mix to finish the game up. We got a taste of what this game sort of might be like last year with the excellent Castlevania Curse of the Moon, or I'm sorry, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. An 8-bit version of look at Bloodstained in motion.
Yes.
Like, so this is Curse of the Moon, but if you actually play, if we could get producers to cue up the other Bloodstained clip, this game looks so much like Symphony of the Night. I just replayed Symphony of the Night in the collection for PlayStation, and that game to me is one of the few games I would give a perfect score to. I think it's an absolutely perfect game, and this game has the same sort of pedigree, the same developer, very similar feel, and I'm very, very excited for this. I think 5 out of 5 Altanos for sure for me.
It's a 4 out of 5 Altano game for me at this point. I'm a little bit worried that, you know, another developer had to be brought in to finish this. But WayForward is really, really good.
Yeah,
the Shantae games are great. Yeah.
Do we ever talk about Mummy Demastered?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh,
yeah,
so
Mummy is really good, too. So
it's such a crazy... I'm not going to get on a tangent.
I have all the faith in the world in this team, and what I've seen so far looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this little bit of worry that, you know, there's something wrong with this game. Sorry. Don't want to be cynical.
No, I get that. I'm an Igarashi fan. If you think about it, like if you remember back to a time, there was a period there where we got brand new Castlevania game every year. And it was
Yeah.
Those are the Halcyon days. Like that was the golden age. Yeah, I love those games so much. And I'm super excited to have them at least in some form back. Yeah. So I got 5, you got 4. Casey, what's your rating on Bloodstained?
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
I'm not
hates vampires.
Gosh, actually I'm down with vampires, but I'm not that into side scrollers. Okay. I don't know if you guys have noticed this from my scores.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to have a very compelling, I don't want to know if I want to call it a gimmick.
You've
to
mentioned
keep
that
me into
to me before,
it.
Like, yeah. You're not into side scrollers. I wanted to ask you, have you always had bad taste, or is that like...
Hey, so I really like Dead Cells, for example.
Yeah, Dead Cells is wonderful.
That had really compelling gameplay mechanics that was more than just platforming.
Yeah.
And so I need something else there that keeps me interested more than just the challenge of a platformer.
So I would encourage you to play Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
Because that is every bit an RPG as it is a platformer.
Yeah.
And oh, it's so, so good. So
yeah, and it also has the best soundtrack in gaming.
Yes, that's true too. 3 out of 5 Altanos for
yes.
Both.
Okay. Because it does look really cool and interesting. So
yeah.
I might have something else there.
Coming up next, Daemon Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. This is the mech action game from the producers of Armored Core.
That's right.
Kenichiro Tsukuda is actually in the producer's chair here. And this was announced at E3 2018. I believe they kicked off their E3 presentation with this, which was very surprising to me. But this is a very cool looking game. I like Armored Core quite a bit. The customization and stuff, the arcade kind of feel to these mechs is very exciting to me. And I think that this game looks really, really cool. This is a character design by, I'm going to butcher this name, Perry, I'm sorry, Yosuke Kozaki.
Yeah, Yosuke Kozaki.
Who is your friend
yes.
from Fire Emblem.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a character designer on Fire Emblem.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's done the character design here, so really, really good aesthetic, and I just think that it's cool that there's a game of this scale on the Switch, like all these, you know, tiny robots fighting giant robots, and like I love robots. So
this is one of those under the radar games from me still. And yeah. I know, you know, our NVC listeners have piped up in the past saying you need to cover this game more. It hasn't clicked with me yet because I haven't been able
There's
to play
it.
There's
also not a ton to cover on this game so far.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's been played in videos by Nintendo, but I haven't been able to go hands on with it yet. But I do really like the style. I love that kind of half cell shaded look. I love all the kind of like all the projectiles, everything that's happening on the
with
screen.
All the particle effects and stuff.
Yeah. And I hope it has a really good upgrade system for your mechs that keeps me playing.
Yeah. I hope that the
I'd give it 3 out of 5 Altanos right
I'm
now.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
I'm going to give this 5 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
Whoa.
I loved Armored Core. Yeah. I love the possibility of customizing my mech and making it something just for me, and that kind of gameplay just looks really awesome and cool and fun.
Right
so
on.
Mechs, animals, and killing
vampires.
Monsters.
She said she was cool with vampires
okay,
earlier.
Good. All right.
Casey, that's your That's your highest score yet.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I gave Animal Crossing 5 out of 5.
You did. Right. That's true. That's true.
Two very different games.
Coming up next, Dragon Quest Builders 2. Now, this is a game that actually just recently came out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I played the hell out of the original Dragon Quest Builders. I think it's the best non-Zelda Zelda game. I it has a very almost like a Super Nintendo Zelda feel to me.
Like Zelda Minecraft.
Kind
right?
of, yeah. I love the original one. This one is very interesting to me because it offers 4-player co-op and gives you the ability to get a glider so you can soar across the world, which I wonder where they got that from. But I'm very excited about this game. I'm kind of surprised that it's not already out here, and I imagine that it'll be out before too long. I would say that we'll probably get this before summer.
Hmm.
But I'm very excited to play this game. I give this 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos because I love the first one so much.
Yeah, I couldn't get into the first one as much, but it was more of a time constraint issue. I did like what they were doing with this game. I'd give this 3 Altanos.
3 Altanos.
But it's definitely on my to playlist.
Yeah. Okay. Casey?
We'll see more.
Same. I never got to play the first one, but it's something that I've always been incredibly interested in.
Also 3, you're saying?
Huh?
Also 3?
3 out of 5 Brian Altanos for Dragon Builders 2.
Cool. Got it.
It looks cool. I saw it at E3, the first Dragon Quest Builders, when they were first promoting it. I didn't get to play it because the line was too long.
Sure.
And I never got to play it since then.
Well,
but I've always been
clearly
interested.
No way to play this at
I know.
Again.
Yeah. I know. There is no way.
It's not as though we have a giant
non-existent.
Okay, now this next game on the list might be my number one most excited.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yep.
We've seen 37 seconds of footage from this game ever.
What?
Yeah. It's supposedly coming in 2019. I love Luigi's Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dark Moon is such a fantastic, like, fun little game. And I like the first one a lot as well. This is the third Luigi's Mansion game, and get ready for this.
That's why it has the three in the name.
18 years. So the original Luigi's Mansion came out so long ago,
yeah.
And it's funny to me that in terms of like Nintendo franchises, this is only the third one that we've got in nearly two decades. So I'm very excited to play this on my Switch.
Yeah.
I'll give this 5 out of 5, Brian Altanos.
I'm with you there. It's 5 out of 5 Altanos for me as well.
Nice.
Mechanically, you know, once in a while a game comes out that, like, you play it and the way it feels is so unique it sticks with you. And although I thought the original Luigi's Mansion was really short, like, no game played like that. It was almost like a mixture between a, kind of like a puzzle game and a fishing game.
It's like,
you know,
it's
had like the fishing kind of pull back yeah. on the stick mechanic to get the ghosts
right.
in. And it was just really fun.
It's like, what if we made Resident Evil for kids, and then also Luigi was there? Like,
that's
it's,
right.
It's brilliant.
And then one of my favorite things is just that he hums the music.
Yeah.
And like, Mario, like the interactions, it feels like Luigi is really there. He's not just somebody who runs through a level. He's like, he's mm-hmm. in that house.
And
the
environmental clues that the game gives you through mm-hmm. audio is really, really impressive. Just in the fact that if there's still ghosts hidden in that room, the song that he hums,
yep.
he'll be nervous about it. But once you kill all the ghosts, he's very happy-go-lucky. And like, mm-hmm. I think this is such... I won't say like niche because everybody knows, Nintendo fans know Luigi's Mansion, but I will say that I feel like it's a series that doesn't get the credit that it deserves.
It's just so different from everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Just charming, charming game.
Mechanically, vacuuming up money
yeah.
never gets old, and you got the different physics
yeah.
and the bills and the coins. Like
yeah.
the,
flashing
the way,
lights.
It's all about feel, you know, with this game.
It's
and I'm looking forward to feel the rumble on
yeah.
the sucker. So.
Yeah. And do you think they will incorporate any kind of motion controls to it?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe,
I know they'll definitely
the
take
fishing.
Advantage of the HD rumble for sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm going to give this. Did you guys give your scores already?
Yes.
5 out of 5?
5.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5.
Okay. 4 out of 5.
Just because I played the first one, but I played it once and I never.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah, have you not played Dark
play
Moon?
It again? I never played Dark Moon.
Tomorrow, I'm bringing in a copy of Dark Moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually have time to play games
it
right
is.
Now, so
there
please
you
do.
One of my favorite games on 3DS. Okay. Getting down to the bottom of the list here. Coming up next. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. That was just announced at the Game Awards in December. First Ultimate Alliance game in 10 years coming to us from Team Ninja as a Switch exclusive. And I really like the original Ultimate Alliance games, the first two. This one looks to live up to that pedigree. So I'm excited for this. I'm going to give this game 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to think yet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a truly great Team Ninja game in a long time.
For a while. That's true.
But I do love the characters. I do love co-op games. So it's a 3 out of 5 Altanos for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get to play it. I want to play this and see, you know, how they've evolved this game. And I hope there are no weird gimmicks with turning your controller sideways in this one, right? Team Ninja, please, no. Please.
I know what you're referencing.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah.
We might talk about that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a baby about this. Sorry.
Stop it, you.
The wounds from Metroid are deep.
I know. It hurts still. Yeah. Casey, what's up? What do you think of this?
I think 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I think it looks like a really fun game to play with friends. I hope mm-hmm. that the online works well. And I think that would compel me to play it a little bit more.
Sure.
It just looks like a fun action game to play with people. I'm hoping that we can just set it up on the TV here and
That'd
we can
cool.
all... Yeah. Check it out when it comes out.
It's a great get as an exclusive.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge deal yeah. for an exclusive. Yeah,
Marvel is not so small right now.
Nope.
So
certainly not. Okay, a couple more here. Coming up next is Town. You might remember this. This is Game Freak's other game.
That's right.
This is a turn-based RPG. Very cute. It's kind of got this chibi art style. It almost looks like a level 5 game to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally looks like level 5.
But I'm into this. I love me like a Ni No Kuni. I like a nice castle building. So I feel like we don't know a ton about this game yet. I'm gonna give this 3 out of 5 Brian Altanos, just because turn-based RPGs and I have not been the closest of friends of late.
Yeah.
Just because of the time commitment involved in that kind of thing. But I'm into this game. I think it looks good.
Yeah, and I have to trust in Game Freak with this, right? I liked, you know, I obviously love their Pokemon RPGs from yesteryear, but also little excursions into horse racing and all that. Which is freaking brilliant.
Is it Harmonite or Rhythm Knight?
I don't know.
They did that too. That's right. But Town, my only worry with Town is that the entire game is set in this town. I like games where I go and explore, and if it's kind of a longer RPG, I want to change of scenery and I want to explore landscapes.
Sure.
And this is all set in this town, so I got to think that the gameplay hook is unique enough to sustain your interest, right? Mm-hmm. That it all goes on in there. It's like monsters invading, and then you got to figure out like combinations with all the villagers to defeat them. At this point, I'll give it a 3 out of 5 Brian Altanos.
Yeah,
you because I want to see a little bit more. I just don't want it to be a little game. I want something big and sprawling from Game Freak.
Okay.
Maybe this is a 4 out of 5. I was very excited when we saw this during that Nintendo Direct presentation because it was totally unexpected.
Yep.
And like Pear said, Game Freak makes Pokemon, and I trust them with this. And I'm hoping that these are ideas that they maybe thought of implementing with Pokemon that maybe wanted to branch off with something new. Mm-hmm. I hope there's some sort of monster collecting mechanic.
Oh, you like that stuff.
I know. Who would have thought? But that's probably not going to happen. But I think the gameplay hook will be there.
Yeah.
Like, I trust them to do it. And I also like town building and kind of, gosh, what was that game called? It wasn't
I think
Harvest.
Of
it wasn't
City.
Rune Factory.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Rune Factory.
Different kind of town building.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be Dark Cloud or something.
Ooh, Dark
I mean, Cloud. That was a good one, too.
ActRaiser.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh.
A lot of them.
Actually,
yeah,
awesome.
4 out of 5.
All right.
Okay. I'm definitely going to play it.
Now, speaking of those crummy little pocket monsters, the next one is probably the big one for 2019. Mm-hmm. I think we're, of course, talking about Pokemon Switch.
Mm-hmm.
That is no firm date, but I put PC, but I meant GF. A Pokemon Company. That's what it was. But Pokemon Company did confirm that it's coming in late 2019. Mm-hmm. Also, Masuda-san is directing the title and says that it will follow in the tradition of Pokemon X and Y and Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pokemon. I don't love Pokemon. I'm not as hardcore as Casey is. Honestly, I don't think anybody's as hardcore as Casey is. But I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos because I am excited for a Pokemon on console. The fact that he's saying that it's going to continue in the tradition of X and Y and Sun and Moon is like a little bit of a bummer to me because I was hoping that it would be sort of a top-down reimagining of Pokemon. Mm. Doesn't mean that it won't be. Maybe he's talking loosely. We haven't seen this game yet. We don't know what it looks like, how it plays or anything. 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos for me.
It's a 5 out of 5 Brian Altanos for me. I'm really looking forward to seeing the first true console Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had this, right? Like, if you remember Gale of Darkness, all these games were kind of spin-offs and they felt very different. You could always tell they were like Gaiden, they're like little side stories.
Mm-hmm.
And just the commitment that they're saying, this is a mainline series title on this platform. I got to think that with Nintendo, they're looking at what the Switch can do graphically with the Joy-Con, with the HD Rumble, all that stuff, and they'll build it from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited for this.
Cool.
I mean, it's obvious, right? It's 5 out of 5 Brian Altanos for me.
Six out of five.
No, this is probably my most anticipated game next year besides the Monster Hunter expansion.
Okay.
but I am hoping that it looks... So Pokemon Let's Go looks great. I think it looks really good. It's really cute.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it looks better than that, not to disparage how Let's Go looks.
Right.
Have you guys seen any footage from the new Yaoke Watch game that's coming out on the Switch?
Yeah.
No.
It looks amazing. It looks fantastic. It looks very, very good. And I kind of want Pokemon to
look more like that.
I keep wanting to use the word better, and that's really not the right word.
No, it's not necessarily like a graphical fidelity thing. It's an art style thing. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think Pokemon Let's Go is more
really
akin
cute,
to,
really simple.
It's more akin to the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I think that taking a different stylistic approach, I think it's going to be important to set this game apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it would probably be in its best interest.
I want to see, like, I know this isn't going to happen, but I want to see like Pokken Tournament level
that would be very
graphics
cool.
in this game. And I know it's not going to happen.
Don't be disappointed. I think it's going to look closer to Let's Go than people
are
expecting.
Yeah, I know. It is.
It's not... Pokemon Company has never done that kind of like graphically stunning games. Mm-hmm. They're always a little bit behind like what Nintendo would do
right.
as a core developed title. But We'll see. I would love to be surprised. Like, if the entire game looked like the anime, for example, that'd be really cool.
That would be cool.
It'd be like a cel-shaded look, something like that.
That would be cute. Cool. I do hope they keep being able to see Pokemon in the overworld.
Yeah.
I really love that feature.
It was a nice, nice update.
Yeah.
If anything, if they take anything from that game, that's what I want.
That'd be very cool.
I'll get working on that.
Let's go tell them.
Then there are two games that we have left off of this list, but I think we probably have to talk about in terms of Nintendo exclusives and the future of the Switch.
Because it could come out
this year. They might. There's a very slim chance that either of these games that Nintendo might pull a fast one on us and do a good reveal of a release date in 2019, and that is, of course, Metroid Prime 4, which I give 10 out of 5 Brian Altanos. I'm very excited. I couldn't possibly be more excited for Metroid Prime 4. I think Metroid Prime is, Metroid in general is one of my favorite franchises. The original Metroid Prime, probably in my top 5 games of all time. So Metroid Prime 4, for sure for me, 5 out of 5.
Brian. Yeah, I give this the whole Altano family. Any We're Altanos about, you can find in Jersey, in the Bay Area, all together. Metroid Prime 4 is hands down my most anticipated title. I can't wait to see what shape it will be.
I bet it's a
triangle. And whether, you know, who the developer will be in the end, what the team will be like. But really excited for this one. Can't come soon enough. You play Metroid Prime?
I only played 3.
Oh my
God.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I know.
You played the worst one of the 3.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not true.
I'd say
I had a lot of fun with the 3rd.
I'd say 2 is the worst one.
And, I mean, okay, so we say worst. I still would give Echoes like an 8.5.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime, I'd give a 10. Yeah.
The first
one is hands down the best.
I was hoping they would release a Metroid Prime collection for the first 2 for me to play on the Switch.
I mean, I still have hope.
We're probably getting a Nintendo Direct this month, aren't we? That's the rumor, right?
With the Trilogy announcement, maybe.
Yeah.
For the 100th time.
I'm not even going to talk about Trilogy announcement rumors anymore, because every time we bring it up, we're wrong. And I just feel terrible about it.
I mean, this is just me hoping I get it before the Metroid Prime 4 comes out so I can replay
it. How many Altanos?
4 out of 5. Okay. Just because I know it's going to be really great.
All right. Very good. And then the other one, of course, is Bayonetta 3.
Yep.
We saw a quick teaser for Bayonetta 3. Not a ton of news coming out about that. No real word from Platinum. I love Bayonetta.
Yep.
I think the first 2 games are fantastic. I'll give this 4 out of 5 Brian Altanos, just because I'd like to see a little bit more and see what we're dealing with.
Same.
But I assume that it'll be just more Bayonetta, which is great.
4 out of 5 Brian Altanos. And you are so excited you even cosplayed as Bayonetta again today.
A joke that no one has ever made before.
What's your excitement level?
4 out of 5 Bayonettas.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I thought it would be 5.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, that basically wraps up all of our 2019 excitement level predictions. Do we have enough time to play a little game?
I'm down.
You guys want to play a little game?
But what kind of game is it?
That's a game I like to call the question block.
Oh, that's not even a game.
We got to go rapid fire because we're already over time. I'm sorry to our producers. I love you very much. I know you guys are having a slow day anyway.
So let's super fast answer.
Here we go. From Facebook, Mike Staub asks, which video game character wears the coolest pants? And I'll say Tidus from Final Fantasy X. He's got weird lederhosen. Pair?
Banjo.
Banjo's
the little
pants.
Yellow shorts can't be beaten.
He's got little yellow hot pants.
Even wears them as a washing machine, which
that's
is
true.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Link, because his pants are basically not even pants.
That's true.
That's
He's
just funny.
Wearing tights. Yeah. Okay, Adam Ray from Facebook asks, do you think we'll ever see a top-down style Zelda again, like Link to the Past or Link's Awakening? I like looking forward to them as compact-sized Zelda adventures in between the big console outings, but now that the console and handheld line is kind of blurry, I wonder if Nintendo will ever go back to this style of gaming. I wouldn't count it out. We got a Link Between Worlds as recently as, what's that, 2013, 2014?
2013. And I love that game.
Yeah, that game's amazing.
I think 100%.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure we'll see another one, whether it's a four-player kind of, four swords style game, or whether you see something that's,
Triforce Heroes.
You know, another take on the Between Worlds formula with that with that sort of presentation.
I would love to see a sequel.
Yeah. And if any Nintendo designer played Blossom Tales, they'd be like, okay, we've got to do our own.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a good recommendation.
Yeah, I think it'd be ridiculous for them to abandon an entire Zelda play style.
Yep.
Okay, over on Facebook, Evan Badulf asks... Badulf asks, what games can I get for my 9-year-old daughter to get her more into games?
Yeah. Any any. I don't have a 9-year-old kid anymore, but I did have 3 of them
right
at the age of 9. I can tell you,
wow.
Any games with obviously a game like Animal Crossing, once it comes out, something a little bit more slower paced where you don't have this kind of fear of exploration or falling into a river or something. Any co-op based game. So Super Mario Party, play 2-player co-op with your daughter against the AI. Maybe something like Stardew Valley, even where you work together on the same farm. Any of the co-op games like that that aren't as taxing,
yeah. No, I will say, difficult. I don't feel like these are necessarily like gender specific recommendations either. Like, I think cooperative gaming is just a great way to get your kids into gaming. All of my children love playing co-op games with me, their dad. So, Casey, what do you have to say?
When I was a little kid, I loved playing Puyo Puyo with my dad.
Yeah.
It was the Kirby's Avalanche version.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was always something I could play with him, and also as long as he was involved. Like, I love playing Lion King, and there are some levels, man, and good. There were some things that I couldn't get past.
Yeah.
So when I got to a point where I couldn't do it, I'd go get my dad, and he'd do it for me.
Great.
And just, like, being involved, regardless of what it is encouraging, and just being there to help, I think, would help anyone.
New Super Mario Brothers, because you also have the bubble mechanic, so when things get tough, you can just have her bubble up.
Yeah.
And then travel with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was also an only child, so that's all I had for entertainment.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Same. I'm still an only child. Okay, Jason Whittle asks...
Get rid of your other siblings.
Yeah, that's an easy route. Jason Whittle asks, if The Legend of Zelda had a Battle Royale mode, which incarnation of Link would be victorious? First of all, I think we had played with the idea of doing a Battle Royale mode reveal for an April Fool's video one year, which was very funny, for Breath of the Wild, 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. I think young Link would be victorious because he's very fast. His bombs explode on contact. He's got a great short hop. I've been maining Young Link in Smash Brothers, and I think he's just a tough little guy.
See, I was gonna say Young Link specifically from Majora's Mask with a fully stocked mask bag, because then he's basically unstoppable.
It's a bag of tricks.
Yeah.
Fools.
And he can turn into Fierce Deity Link and just wreck everything with two hits.
It'll be Linkette. When he gets that little crown and he transforms into a Linkette. It'll be Fierce Deity Link.
Yeah.
Obviously, the super-powered guy with a giant sword with the intertwining blade.
Sword,
and he, you know, when you've got your full power, you can do the...
How do you do it?
The little... You know,
like, he's the true
villain. That's how he uses the sword.
Yeah.
No, he can do the kind of wave beam attack, the sword beams and all that. And he's got the most range. He's going to win against your puny little Young Link.
No, Young Link turns into Fierce Deity with the mask.
It's not the same.
It's one and the same.
Two different characters.
You can't stay
Fierce Deity. It's not a game.
We could sit here and argue about
whether
or not Young Link is the same character as Fierce Deity Link, but we got to wrap up.
Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for watching. We are Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo show, every Thursday at 3 p.m. on IGN.com and every Friday at 3 p.m. on YouTube. Happy New Year out there. Thank you guys so much for watching in 2018. We look forward to kind of shaking things up and doing things differently in 2019. But don't forget, NVC is the only place where you will be able to
get 5 out of 5 Brian Aldanos.
Yeah.
And the thing.
And the thing. You can get the thing, too.
The thing, too. Oh, the thing.
'Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.